Count us off, bro.
3, 2, 1.
My brother Brandon, he's got depression. This is a story why.
Brando.
My brother Carson on bass guitar, and he is a funny guy.
Carson!
Unmissing person happened to my bro. Unmissing person, that's the name of our show. Whoa. Good enough. Welcome.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Radio Brendo Man. I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Carson Crashly the Fourth. We are related.
We're bros.
Welcome.
It's Halloween.
Yes, it is. And this
won't be Halloween when people listen to this.
Well, it's a full moon when we're recording this. It's important to, you know, have everyone know that.
Yeah.
This is Chapter 9. Spring Break Fresno! Spring Break Fresno! You should be more fired up. You didn't even join in.
Spring Break Fresno!
Spring Break Fresno! Spring Break Fresno! Of course, Chapter 9, Spring Break Fresno, is preceded by Chapter 8 of this Brendo Man Productions Limited series. Chapter 8 was...
Even Rose City smells like poo-poo.
Ooh, Even Rose City smells like... What does that mean? What was that chapter about?
About living in Portland and the ups and downs.
Yeah, like you'd think moving to Portland would be awesome, but this is 2020. And it's been pretty dope.
Pretty good?
Yeah, but I mean, this is a story about depression, suicide attempt. You went missing. We found you. But by this point in the story, last week, you were back. And it's like, well, great. That's good, but, you know. But what? But for what? We don't love them hoes, right? Is that what it was about? What was it about?
It was about... just living in Portland and how...
We did That's So Portland instead of That's So Raven. But here we are. We're not Chapter 8 anymore. This is Chapter 9. Spring Break Fresno.
Spring Break Fresno.
Spring Break Fresno. It was more exciting. What was Spring Break Fresno? Take us back. Picture this. Spring Break 2005. Well, what's it smell like?
I was living in China.
So 2005 smelled like China.
China.
What was China like? I didn't visit you.
No.
I didn't have a passport. But when your olfactory recollection is triggered, memory is, you know, closest tied to the sense of smell. What does China smell like?
It smells like ice cold.
It smells like ice.
Yeah.
And cold. Because you were... China's a big country.
I was in the far northeast in a city called Harbin.
Which is sometimes called...
Harbin?
The ice city. City of ice.
Yeah.
You're the one that lives there. Why am I saying this?
I don't know.
You said it was cold. I was emphasizing the cold.
It was like 40 degrees below zero.
Celsius?
At that point, it's the same, I think.
What?
Yeah.
You reached absolute zero? I don't know how temperatures work.
It was really cold. And
What do you mean at that point it's the same? I mean, I guess they intersect somewhere.
They intersect.
In the negatives?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least I think so.
But it was like hallucinogenically cold. It made you... question your existence. And the cold made you question your faith?
Well, I don't know if it was the cold that made me question my faith. It was just being exposed to other people's beliefs and way of life and just realizing that I might not have all the answers that I thought I had.
So China converted you. You're a communist.
Yeah,
I'm a communist now. You went to China to teach English in name and to preach the love of God on the DL. That's right. That was what got you to China.
Yeah, I taught English and public speaking.
But what did your students call you?
What?
What did your students call you?
Mr. Creasy.
Not Mr. Brendo?
No.
Not Brendo-san?
No. San, that's Japanese.
You're very right. How old were your students?
I had freshmen and sophomores. No, mostly freshmen in college. But there were some students that were older because in China, you know how like we can take the SATs as many times as we want? You can only take the entrance exams once a year and so some people, it takes them a few years to get the scores they want. So I had some older students.
Oh, so okay. Yeah. That makes sense. I remember does this sound familiar to you? A lot of people think well, every education system's different, right? And each system country to country kind of has its own version of really sticking it to the lower class. And the version of that I heard about in China from a dude who I met in a hostel, probably around this time, 05, he said, he came from a very poor village, and he scored very high on the test, which meant he could go to a great school, but he couldn't afford the train to get to his school that he got into. Yeah, so there's shit like that happens.
There's people that
extreme
would,
poverty.
People came from all over the country to go to this school. It was like the MIT of China. It was called the Harbin Institute of Technology. And I was teaching English to robotics majors. These were like genius level.
You use. Probably taught English to somebody who helped President Trump get elected.
Yeah.
Because it was close to Russia,
well,
too.
They were busy doing, making World of Warcraft bots and other money-making hacking schemes. They were doing, video game shit.
They probably dug for a lot of bitcoins.
That wasn't around yet, but I'm sure they're doing that now.
They were probably setting up the infrastructure to drill down into the dark web to get bitcoins. Yeah. Is that how bitcoins work? I don't know. Who would be the Daniel Plainview of Bitcoin? If you have an algorithm, and I have an algorithm, I drink your Minecraft milkshake. I don't know. Can you get Bitcoins in Minecraft? If you dig deep enough, I have no idea how they work. I'm asking you, friend to friend, brother to brother, where's my Bitcoins?
I think the Bitcoin train is past.
The Bitcoin train left the station. Next stop, Snowpiercer. I don't know.
But I started feeling depressed in China. I was doing my podcast, though. I started my podcast.
You started the podcast in China?
Yeah.
Didn't you have to break through the great wall of firewalls to get it broadcast to the world?
Yeah, Danny and I tunneled.
You think that put you on a list?
No. Maybe.
This dude broke through the most intense cybersecurity systems that our country has ever manifested to share his thoughts on the movie Angus with the world. He must be stopped. So you're in there. You're in China. You're depressed.
And I start having panic attacks because I think what caused the panic attacks was we went to Thailand. Well, first I...
Did you go to Thailand and drink snake blood?
No.
Oh.
But I was prescribed Paxil.
Would you want to drink snake blood?
I don't know. I've eaten snake, but I haven't had snake blood.
Remember that scene in The Beach where Leonardo DiCaprio drinks snake blood?
No.
Obviously not. Continue.
I went to Phuket, though.
Phuket?
Yeah, I went there.
Did you dance on the beach during full moon?
Not during the full moon.
It's too bad. It's not a very COVID-safe thing to do anyway. But anyway, sorry, we got distracted. The panic attack started in Thailand?
No, they started after, because I was prescribed Paxil, and I think the Paxil was what gave me panic attacks, and it made me feel more depressed.
Oh, you got some bad Thai drugs?
Well, it was just the Paxil did not react well with me. Because some depressants, antidepressants are bad. But I, because I had tried to, I had made a weak-ass suicide attempt around New Year's.
In China?
Yeah. I had ingested every drug I had, which wasn't a lot of drugs. I had some painkillers.
We're not talking about, like, a Fear and Loathing suitcase. We're talking about...
I had what I thought were, like, high-potency painkillers, because I had injured my elbow.
On an alpine slide?
On an ice slide, yeah. Not an alpine slide, an ice slide.
Is that like the Chinese version of Adventure Park, of Action Park?
Well, it was like, they have this, you should look up, you should type into Google Harbin Ice Festival. And they make these, it's beautiful, it's amazing, they make these awesome...
Siri, look up Harbin Ice Festival. There, I just did it for you. No. Hey Siri, Harbin Ice Festival after parties.
But they have both these beautiful snow sculptures, and then they have these ice... buildings, like, made out of blocks of ice, like, just buildings and all kinds of shit made out of ice blocks.
Is it true? I read this, saw it on, like, a Travel Network show, or maybe it was Discovery Planet, about the Harbin Festival. Is it true that on the third night of the ice festival, at midnight, Xander Kane, or Xander from XXX, Vin Diesel, does a shot luge with the local mayor's wife? Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
That's a rad holiday. If you got XXX there and a shot luge, I'm in.
They had this ice slide that was the Great Wall of China, and like you went along the wall, and it went really fast, and I was a little too big for the normal... like, compared to normal people riding the slide. And so I slammed against the side of it, just going, like, 30 miles an hour, like, bam. And I thought I had, like, I thought there was, like, bones sticking out, because there's blood.
If you met XXX there, you could be like, whoa, you're XXX? I wear XXX.
I got to ride in an ambulance.
Well, I'm sure that's fun in a foreign country.
It was pretty nuts.
Do their sirens sound like wee wee, or are they more like wow 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 wow?
They were
wow.
Like wah.
They were wah. Yeah. But in Mexico, it's like oh wow 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 kikariki kikariki. Because there's these chickens that chase the ambulances in Mexico.
Yeah, experienced China's finest healthcare. Got my x-rays done, and they were like, yeah,
how does China's healthcare circa 2005 compare to U.S. healthcare 2020?
I would take the China healthcare.
Oh, take that, Obamacare. Who's that a diss to? Our country.
Our healthcare.
Nonpartisan. Our healthcare just sucks.
I didn't even have insurance, and I paid, like,
couple bot.
It was like nothing.
I love
it.
It
was covered. My boss paid for it. It was so cheap. My boss is like, here, just take it.
This is not a hot take, but you know, like, how long have you been hearing Aflac commercials on the TV? Like, feels like decades, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they used to have the guy Iago with a parrot, and then he got in trouble as the Aflac voice. That was Gilbert Gottfried.
Joke, inappropriate 9/11 joke, I think.
I know. I think it was a typhoon too soon joke. Yeah,
I knew it was a too soon, but I thought it was either 9/11 or tsunamis. Or
well, no, that was the 9/11 was the Friars roast. He was bombing at the Friars roast with the 9/11, and they did the aristocrats joke. Unrelated. Years later, there was like one of those tsunamis, and he made a joke, and then Aflac dropped him. ironically, it was probably the heat from the Aristocrats where someone was like, hey, we need that voice to be Affleck. But anyway, it wasn't until, like, I don't know, a few years ago that you listened to the Affleck commercials. And it's like, wait a minute, what is Affleck? Oh, it's insurance for your insurance. Because it's like, it covers expenses that your insurance doesn't cover. That's insurance for insurance. That's how bad the healthcare is you need insurance for insurance. I mean, talk to your parents. They have their Medicare and then they have their backup. It's like, what? I spent most of my 20s, you know, killing myself to get covered in insurance. And now I need two insurances and I need insurance for my insurance. I can go to the hospital and they're like, hey, you got insurance. Great. It's only $300 for to set a dislocated pinky and you declined x-rays. That's wit. Anyway.
Yeah, man.
This podcast is brought to you by healthcare. It blows. Anyway. So the healthcare system broke your brain, and then what?
So I got in a big fight with my boss.
Physical fight or like a fight of words?
Having a panic attack, and she was... It was not good. It was...
Who won? Well, the panic attack.
And it was kind of a complicated relationship thing with my boss.
Oh, complicated.
Yeah.
Romantically?
I don't know. It was weird.
Well, how so? That's what I need to dig in here. This is the juice.
Well, no. I just... Like, we hung out a lot. And then she became my boss. And then I didn't hang out anymore. And, like, it was weird.
Mm.
And so I was a little, so like, but then like, I remember one, like I got added all these extra classes on my workload and I was like, I can't do that. And she's like, you gotta just deal with it. And I was like, bleh. And I got really mad. And so someone from she called. Our company had
like the ombudsman
had like
HR,
a regional person come and like
to the Ice City. Where they get? How they get there? How long did it take them to get there?
And fly there from I think from Beijing.
It's like, that's a long flight.
It's like a few hours.
That's a few hours just to be like mediate.
Well, just to see what we could do, like because I was like I can't continue this.
What are the options there? They send you home?
Well, they were like, you can go home, which is like mom's basement in Missouri. And I was like, nah, hell to the nah. I could stay in Harbin and things would probably just get worse.
Right.
Or I could go to this place.
Sanitarium.
Well, it was a...
It's where, hey, I've been teaching the Bible to cannibals in New Guinea for 20 years, and now I need to retire. But before I re-enter civilian life, I need a place to chill out a bit, kind of a place.
Yeah. It's like a rehabilitation center for missionaries.
Sanitarium for missionaries.
Yeah.
What was the day-to-day like there?
Well...
How about that? I mean, there's like the walk of shame. What's it like packing up and being like, well, I'll see you later, China?
I was, at the time, I wanted to just get out of there. But I was also like,
which
really
explains the suicide attempt.
I was really depressed because I felt like I failed, you know, I failed my mission.
Did we close that button? What happened with the suicide attempt?
Oh, so I had gotten injured on the ice slide and they gave me these painkillers. But it turned out they were just like Chinese herbal, whatever. So they, because I took a ton of them, like thinking I was gonna OD or something.
And then you just kind of,
I just felt really out of it.
And then you just had kombucha diarrhea.
And then I was like, I'm gonna drink a bunch of the water because the water's gonna make me like can kill me. And I did that. And I took a bunch of Advil and, like, some other pills, and...
So what happened?
I just felt really woozy and fell asleep.
And you didn't even get medical attention?
And I begged God to do something, and he didn't.
Did you beg God to, like, kill you, or?
I don't know, just to
do You're something. The beggar to God. What was that like?
Just to do something.
Was that one of the last times you prayed?
Yeah.
Did you masturbate after you finished praying? No. You're not a depressed wanka?
Not in that time, no.
No. What was your spot like? Where they have you? Did you have housemates, flatmates?
No, I had my own apartment. It was like a two-bedroom apartment. Like
an two-bedroom?
We had like an office and then like a bedroom and then like a kitchen area. So it was like a living room and a bedroom. And
then sounds
like
nice. Kitchen.
It was all right. It was like a dorm kind of almost, like dorm type. But we lived in, there was a foreign student housing. So it was all foreign. Like there was a Russian lady on our floor. There was Japanese woman.
It's like the real world, Harbin.
Yeah, and it was just really cold. And it was
cold.
And so I survived the suicide attempt, and I knew I needed help, and so when I was in Thailand, I saw a therapist.
Yeah.
And he prescribed the Paxil.
Okay.
And then, but then, so then all the shit happens with my boss, and then they're like, all right, you have choices. You can go to this Link Care place, or you can go home, or you can stay here.
Chose Fresno.
Yeah.
What was the plane ride to Fresno? Like, what direction do you go?
You go back over the Dateline.
Over Pacific Ocean?
Yeah. So it was...
Do you, like, lay over in Hawaii?
Where no,
did
you just
go?
Just I flew from Beijing to San Francisco.
And you drove from San Francisco to Fresno?
And had, like, a puddle jumper from San Francisco to Fresno.
And so you're in Fresno. It was just... You know, was it... 40 degrees and now you're in Fresno and it's like hot.
Yeah, well it was like March, so it wasn't too bad. It was
spring in the Ice City, so it thawed a bit.
Yeah, and so I remember the first thing I did, the guy picked me up at the airport and he's like, do you want some food? And I was like, so I had him get me to Taco Bell. I had Taco Bell. That was the first thing I had, was Taco Bell.
And that almost killed you.
And because I had like some like weird Mexican food, like.
Oh yeah, Mexican food abroad is like, whoa. I was in Argentina, and I know, I grew up in San Diego. I know there's a big difference, but I'm like,
we had some pretty good tacos in Hong Kong.
They speak the same language. Like, I just remember getting a margarita that had like table salt on the rim, and the I don't even.
I had some pretty good tacos in Hong Kong. It was like owned by a Westerner, like by some guy from, I don't think, he was from the States, I think. But it was a white dude. And they were pretty good, but it wasn't anything like special. And like, they didn't have any, but I didn't want to like Taco Bell and like junk food, you know, like.
They didn't have any. You had a life-changing crisis of faith, and the first thing you do once you get back home to your country is like making a run for the border. What was it? Do you remember what the meal was? Was it a
double-decker taco?
Double-decker taco.
And
rest in peace.
Yeah, probably like a bean and cheese and
It's one of the healthiest fast food items on the market. Just take out the processed flour.
And I remember having Baja Blast.
Yeah.
I think that might have been the first time I had Baja Blast.
And then you're in Fresno, the fast food capital of the world.
Yeah, it was just... Being there was hard because I felt out of place immediately just because it was like a lot of older people and couples at the center. And like the dudes, it'd be like this guy, like... I remember the first... I felt like, you know, in Half-Baked when he goes to, like, the NA meeting and he's, like, And they're like, oh, weed, that's it? Like, because it's like this guy, they're like, we go to group therapy and they're all talking and they're like, well, why don't you introduce yourselves to Brendan? And it's like, and the first guy's like, yeah, I got shot in I forgot what country he was in. It was in some Middle Eastern country. He's like, yeah, I got shot and I'm dealing with post-traumatic stress.
And you're like, that's what you get, colonizer. Take your god out of this country with a bullet.
And then, like, it was like someone, and then another guy was going through a divorce. And then another guy is dealing with, like, I forgot what else, but it was like, and then I was like, I'm depressed.
I was in the ice city. It was beautiful but sad, and the tacos were bad. And God didn't answer my prayers for better tacos. And I may have been prescribed in Thailand some off-brand Paxil that's really messing with my brain chemistry because I've had depression my whole life. And I'm slowly but surely identifying in a new way as a sexual being. Was that part of it too?
I mean, kinda.
How is that kind of a thing?
I didn't really think about it. It just wasn't something I thought about too much. It didn't really come into play.
I just thought it was interesting, you know, that it was like, you had that experience. To me, in my times, what it is, and it's not, it wasn't like a direct chain of events. It was like, you had that experience. Now you were like, really kind of like, you know, more atheist than I was. I mean, I'm like, you know, I'm not atheist, but you're like, God, no. And then it came like, oh, by the way, I'm gay, or I'm not straight.
Yeah.
So to me, they're like dominoes, but to you, it wasn't like, they weren't in that moment. It wasn't, I don't know. What was it like? It wasn't like you were like, oh, it sucks being a maybe gay guy in China. Whoa, what was that like?
At the time, it just wasn't something I even was thinking about. I was like, I can really compartmentalize my sexuality. Like, I don't
for
even...
a while. I mean, wasn't your take on it? Well, maybe I'm asexual.
Yeah,
because it was just kind of like compartmentalized.
But, yeah,
yeah.
Like whatever. It's whatever. Take it or leave it.
And you were like, I'm leaving it in Harbin. And then we'll address it later. But right now I gotta get this God stuff straightened out, or I just gotta get the fuck out of China.
Well, it was like, I gotta get my brain straightened out because I'm like trying to like do the right thing. I'm still trying to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still holding on. I'm still trying to find. I haven't like totally shut out God.
Yeah.
And I guess I prayed sometimes after, because I went to church for like a couple years
after,
when I got back to SoCal. It was like a year and a half.
How long were you in real world Fresno house, Big Brother Fresno? How long were you there, the Challenge of Faith Fresno? How long were you there before my friend Judd and I decided to visit?
You guys came in like April, so I was there for like probably like a few weeks.
You've been there a few weeks. A few weeks of
maybe a month.
Meetings. And what's the day-to-day schedule?
Every day
like?
I'd go to individual therapy.
But it's like a Christian therapist.
Yeah. He was all right. He's a nice guy. It wasn't too, I don't know. And then I had like...
Pray harder, that'll help the depression.
No. They just couldn't prescribe shit.
Mm-hmm. They could prescribe more TNP.
Yeah.
Give this man 500 milligrams of TNP, stat! That's thoughts and prayers.
So I'd have individual therapy, and then I'd have group therapy.
So there was guys. Did they have like different wards there? Was there like an exorcism? No, was it like, I went and preached Jesus abroad and I got a demon? Would they have like a demon ward?
No, there wasn't wards. It was like a, I mean, you saw it. It was like an apartment complex.
I know, but was there like, you know, a possession wing?
No, I didn't encounter anybody that dealt with that kind of shit.
What was the craziest, Christian-iest shit, though, you dealt with?
Ever?
At Fresno House.
Oh, at Fresno House, probably that guy that got shot.
He got shot for what, being a Christian?
I guess so, yeah.
What if his story was like, I had a moment of weakness and, you know...
No, it was definitely like, you're a missionary, we're going to kill you.
Maybe he just had a punchable face.
Maybe.
Maybe he looked rich.
I don't know, he was a good guy. He was a nice guy.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be hard if, like, you took a bullet for God and then had a crisis of faith, and it's like, man, if I lose my faith, I got this lead tattoo for nothing.
Well, there were a lot of people dealing with crises of faith and things like that.
Crises.
We would talk about that Brendan in group crises. Therapy. So at least it was good to being there and knowing there were people going through the same thing I was going through.
That's good.
And there were some people I actually met. There was a couple that was from Harbin, that had been in Harbin. It's really random.
Well, I'm just curious, whose idea was it to have to do spring? Because what Spring Break Fresno is Brendan's been in China. He's now in Fresno.
I haven't seen you in
a couple years, probably. Yeah. I'm finishing up. I'm in my last year of college at Berkeley.
Yeah.
And so it's like spring break. And even
leading, like, done, basically.
Pretty much done. Like, it was my fifth year, so I had to pass statistics, and I was getting credits for, like, I was actually pretty busy. It was like the victory lap year of college was great, because at this time, second semester, I was a resident assistant of a brand new dorm that had just opened. It was awesome. It was called Towel Hall. I invented a tradition that we maybe did once called the Towel Run, where the, like, midnight before classes started, we ran to the bell tower in our towels. It was great. Towel Hall. It made so much sense. It was cool. Did nitrous with one of my residents. It was great. Whippets. Loved it. I was a great RA. It was like, everyone wants to be the cool RA. Hard to execute and not lose your job, but I did it. And I wasn't that cool. No one who would describe themselves as the cool RA as an RA. And their cool RA, that's an oxymoron. Brendan knows you were an RA. Was there such a thing as a cool RA in your world?
No.
No. You were the cool RA.
I guess I was cool. I had the least lame dorm devotions.
Yeah, probably. So I was RA. I was in the theater department at UC Berkeley. At this point in time, I was probably taking advanced directing, which meant I was adapting a Dave Eggers script into a one act for a director's showcase. I think you saw that. Did you see that? It was during grad week, probably.
Yeah.
Robert was in it.
Yeah.
Had Arcade Fire. I had a live cellist. I had a lineman from the football team who could only do spring shows because it was great. I was a busy guy, and I was administrative coordinator of New Student Services. I was a busy undergrad.
That's a lot of shit.
Yeah, I was even, yeah, it was crazy. It was wild, wild times. Good school, keeps you busy.
You're wearing your cow beanie right now.
I got this last time I was there with my wife when she was pregnant. It was great. And I had a buddy, Judd, Judson Eli Wickham at Davis. And he had a truck. It was like,
you didn't have a car.
I didn't have a car.
You donated your car to the zoo.
I donated my car to the zoo a couple years prior because parking in the Bay Area is for rich people.
You gotten a lot of tickets?
Oh, so many street cleaning tickets. Oh, my God. It was worse. It was so bad. So, yeah. And then it was like, well,
it's San Francisco. You didn't need a car.
No. It was a pain. It was a hassle. Plus, I had my friend in Davis who had a car. We had a spring break, and I cannot remember. I tried in preparation for this podcast. I was like, I can't remember a single other spring break that I had, and I had five of them. I was like, do you remember a spring break that you had?
One spring break in Missouri, we went to St. Louis and saw Wesley Willis.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I can't remember a single spring break other than
in high spring school break Fresno. To Tecate.
Oh, I think I remember one that I think I turned 21 over spring break, which was sad because all my friends were gone. So I was like, might as well go drink at a bar legally for the first time and like had all those like awkward moments where it's like, no, it's my birthday. He's like, it's your birthday at midnight. I'm like, it's after midnight. Come back tomorrow. I'm like, oh, I'll go to the next bar. And I was by myself on my birthday. You know, going to those Berkeley hot spots. Like, oh, where's the one that Cole worked at? I forget their names. Who cares? But anyway, Judd and I cut out. And Judd, let's talk about Judd.
Judd was our friend from high school.
He was a bro, one of my besties.
We met in, like, it was my senior year.
It's been referenced on this podcast. Because if I were to tell you, hey, a friend of mine from high school and I, we're going to be in a hip-hop rap group that's going to do very well in Battle of the Bands. If this was, like, freshman year, you'd be like, oh, it's going to be like you and Mark and your guys' friends. But the Orange Tang Clan are my senior year of high school's rap collective that participated in Battle of the Bands. The ringleader was Judd because he was like, I want to teach myself how to be a DJ, a turntablist. And he did. And he could, like, make beats.
Yeah, he learned to use a DJ. He was into, I remember he was into, what is it called, dubstep before anybody I knew. I found out what dubstep was because Judd was posting stuff on Facebook.
Yeah, I used to joke, like, I think you, like, invented, not invented, but he's, I think on, like, if you go, like, some deep electronic music corners of the internet, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, he did this one thing that, like, nobody else really was into, or it was crazy.
And also, he was like, a genius.
He was a genius. He was a math major, and he was a double major math and managerial econ. He had I didn't think these types of experience existed. He had kind of one of those he was so smart, and he was in so those big, like, you know, like 200 seater like math classes, and he would never go to class, just like take the tests, and his professors only knew him by like his ID number, because he was like one of those classes where just like, you know, just show up to the test or blah blah blah, you know, if you're these didn't track attendance. But he got like plucked out of class, and like some of the department higher ups were like, based on your performance, we want to put you on like a PhD track as like a sophomore. They're like, we can, you know, do this, these are the classes. And he's like, nah, I'm not gonna do that because professors don't make as much money as I want to make. And he was right. He ended up being the chief financial officer of Pinkberry before he was like 28.
And then he was like a consultant for PeopleSoft.
He did consulting right out of college. At one point in time, he was the only U.S. employee of a French-based hedge fund. And he lived in like a company-paid-for apartment in the same building on the same block as the David Letterman studios, which is a trip. I like took a cheap flight to New York one break. Maybe it was a spring break. And I was like, Judd, let me crash at your place. And he's like, cool, let's go to a bar first. And like went to a bar, ended up literally like doing drugs with a rock band in the bathroom, stole their drugs and ran back to his place. And then it was like a blur. Then I wake up the next morning and I leave his building and I turn the corner. I'm like, this is the David Letterman studios. Whoa, Judd like really lives in New York. Because I had visited other friends, like, yeah, come visit me in New York. And they live, like, you know, 112th Street, you know. I was like, he lived in Times Square. He's a crazy dude. Passed away young. Just kind of lived hard like that. But, I mean, Judd was like, hey, you know, my brother's back from China. Let's go visit him for spring break. He's like, I'm on board. Are you going to pay for gas? Not only that, I'm going to pay for a cheap motel room because we're breaking them out of the sanitarium. That was the plan? What was the plan?
To give me a night on the town, have a fun time.
It was kind of like in Cuckoo's Nest where McMurphy takes him on a boat, but we didn't have a boat. We had Judd's Toyota truck or Nissan truck. I think it was a Nissan.
Yeah.
Didn't need it because we just walked from the motel to whatever bar we had.
We took a cab.
we played a drinking game to like an afternoon game show.
Yeah,
in the motel that had cigarette burns in the bathtub.
It was a very scary motel. It's
the kind of motel we were at.
We stayed at a couple places, didn't we?
I don't remember. How long were we there?
2 nights. So I remember we stayed at one place where you like only broke a chunk off the counter opening a bottle.
That never happens.
Like, I'm going to open a bottle off of this. Like, and like some of the counter came off.
Their counter sucked.
Yeah. But yeah, you guys didn't spend the night in my place. You stayed at the hotel. Because Mike stayed at my place. My little studio apartment.
Yeah, but we were kind of obnoxious. We would go to local dive bars, get wasted, and be like at random, you know, every 7 minutes, just we'd start shouting,
Spring Break Fresno!
And people would be like, what are you guys talking about? They're like, are they making fun of us? It's like, nah, dude, we're on spring break. And they're like, where are you guys from? Oh, yeah, I came out here from San Francisco, from the Bay Area. And they're like, why are you here? And then we'd just be like, Spring Break Fresno! We ended up at a Denny's where you literally worked the room.
Yeah, I started asking people what they were doing at the Denny's because it was like 4 in the morning or 3 in the morning.
I think one of us won the prize claw. It was probably Judd.
Yeah.
He's a genius. But yeah.
But it definitely, it was my first experience just with normal people again and having just being around you.
Do you know what else comes to mind when I envision Spring Break Fresno? Because, you know, we both think in movies. I think of that scene in the Royal Tenenbaums where, like, the montage where, like, royals hanging out and cutting it up.
Yeah.
With Ari and Uzi. Just, like, running around, hopping on the back of a, you know, of a garbage truck, you know, shoplifting from corner stores, just, you know, cutting it up.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're just having fun, having a good time, and not worrying about shit. And that was the first time I wasn't worrying about all this stuff in my head. And I was, made me feel like I was ready to maybe move on. The next thing and
live life, step out of the head.
And that's because I think I ended up going to your graduation and I went and moved in with Mike soon after that. So I left, I checked myself out of Link Care because it was costing an arm and a leg. I was like, it's costing a fortune and I had no idea how I was going to pay for it.
How did it get paid for?
ELIC ended up footing the bill, and they were like,
what's ELIC?
That was the company I worked for.
Mm. Well, you got out of there.
Yeah.
I got out of college. But it's also, you know, especially now, going into winter and people are isolated, it's almost like, you know, to a certain extent, some folks could be feeling, you know, as isolated as you were in Harbin, or even as isolated as you felt in Fresno. And it's important to reach out to the folks that you care about just to, you know, just to be present, you know. That can do a lot.
Yeah.
But do it safely.
Yeah, we were safe. We're always safe.
Hell yeah.
Most of the time.
Speaking of safe, fun times, we went to a, you know, we were very, very, you went to a Halloween party tonight, Halloween thing.
Yeah, it was a safe Halloween party. It was, don't freak out. We never went inside. We didn't go inside the house.
There were 10-ish people there.
It was less than 10.
Less than 10. Brendan was counting, especially. There were little ones, so it was cool.
The recommendations right now are to keep gatherings less than 10 people. And it obeyed the recommendations. I mean, I'm still a little apprehensive about everything just because COVID's really bad right now, especially in Oregon. especially in the Portland area. There's a lot of cases. And
but we did it right. You know, I peed outside.
Yeah, what was that like?
There were deviled eggs I turned down. They were playing, you know, like ring toss games. I was like, I ain't touching that shit. I did have that first awkward, like, you know, this dude rolled into the party with his family dressed like Jurassic Park. He's being very friendly and out front, not in the inside the party, but did the whole like, oh, hey, I'm Ian. Like, extends the hand, and I had to just be like, what's up in the COVID world? Someone offers you a hand, what do you say?
You were just like, that's all right. You were just
said, like, I'm good, dude. Nah. But you know what? It's so funny. Back when I was auditioning for grad school, you know, you audition for these folks, and these folks, like at the Yale School of Drama, they're seeing like 100 people a day, and it's like flu season for like these audition tours. And you know, a lot of them, you know, it's like maybe they're going to introduce themselves and shake their hands and, you know, be professional. And I remember like the Yale School of Drama, and that's like a big deal. That's a big audition. When I auditioned for the Yale School of Drama, one year Michelle Trachtenberg was also auditioning in San Francisco for the Yale School of Drama. I remember it was kind of like, oh, and Mr. Rob Van Loo, the chair of the program, will be in there, along with the movement teacher, James or whatever. James will shake your hand. Mr. Van Loo will not be shaking any hands. I remember like, weird nerd. And now it's like, dude, that guy was right. But I also, like, when it was flu season, I was working in college admissions. I didn't like shaking people's hands because I was like, once I saw someone be like, oh, that's almost like a status move, but it also makes a lot of sense. I got used to like not shaking hands. I was just like, just not doing it.
Yeah, there's at conventions, there's like the con crud, and like people always get it. Like, and so some celebrities opt to not shake hands because they're like, you know, meeting hundreds of people.
It's gross. People are dirty.
That was one of the funniest. The Miz had a really funny thing once I saw him do where he was walking down the aisle, and then at the end of it, he shook a couple hands, and at the end, he pulled out hand sanitizer, and I was like, that's a very heel thing. But also, of course he would do that. But it was a heel move, pulling out the hand sanitizer.
Yeah. It's so funny. Like, you know, the parents, like, spraying their kids with hand sanitizer, like, 12 months ago, it's like, ugh, look at this jerk. And now it's like, yes, why aren't we seeing that more?
Especially kids, they're the super spreaders.
Yeah. Anyway, on Halloween theme, let's talk about the costumes we wore tonight.
We were, well, your daughter was Pee-wee Herman.
Lily was the centerpiece. She was a little Pee-wee.
So we were the Playhouse Gang.
Mm-hmm.
I was Cowboy Brendo.
They're very stylish, custom-made, thanks to my wife.
Yeah, a custom-made shirt.
With fringe and everything. Yeah. I was...
Captain Carl.
Captain Carl, my wife, the lovely Rebecca. Love you. Was Miss Yvonne.
Yeah.
And we looked great. I mean, what's great about the kids, the little ones' Pee-wee costume, was that after a while, take off the bow tie... It still, even though it's a tiny gray suit, looked like David Byrne.
Yeah.
So it was like two costumes in one, Pee-wee and David Byrne from Talking Heads.
I watched the new David Byrne special on HBO Max. It was really good.
Cool, bro. We've had some good costumes through the years. I think we should do a little Creasy Brothers costume battle
You're
royale.
You're definitely the more creative one.
Well, let's find out. Let's go. Let's, you know, two rounds, then we'll have a championship round, okay? I'm putting up a costume round one, so are you, round two, and then we have a championship costume bracket bout. How's that sound?
Yeah.
All right. Round one, who do you got? What costume are you bringing?
Well, I was, I think it was like 1990. Sounds about right. I was Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger. So you were an 8-year-old Freddy Krueger.
I was like 10.
10-year-old Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, man.
That's a big ask as a 10-year-old. Because that's like, I need one of them, you know, I need an expensive mask.
and a glove.
And the glove. That's like, that's kind of like the...
I think we got like a thing that came with the mask and the hat, and then the glove was another separate thing. So it was like two things. And then I had to get a sweater, but I had a sweater.
Mm-hmm.
A striped sweater. It wasn't an exact match, but it was striped.
I remember that mask. We've had, yeah. It was an ugly, ugly mask.
Yeah, it was pretty hideous.
And he had like the foam Freddy had. I remember it was foam.
Foam, yeah.
It was foam. It was very costumey. But this was like a tent mask purchase. Because there's like, it wasn't, you had to go beyond like what you could get at Walgreens.
No, this wasn't at the store. This was like, you had to go to the Halloween tent.
The Halloween tent.
Which for me was.
The Boll Weevil parking lot.
I was kind of scared of the Halloween tent because I was a little scared of some scary masks and.
Yeah, just looking at them.
And they had like a sky outside.
And this is one of the ugliest masks.
So.
But that's kind of cool because we have had a fascination with sharp claws, you know. Wolverine, love him. But even before that, there was the boss at the end of Bad Dudes.
Yeah, Vega.
Vega. We loved sharp claws. And that's the genius of like, Mom, I want to be Freddy Krueger. It's like, now I get like a sharp claw toy.
Yeah. I love that glove.
And like, that was probably our best duo costume because that year,
yeah,
I was Jason.
You were Jason.
Which I just needed a hockey mask and blood.
And a cleaver. You had a cleaver.
I remember I was very detail-oriented. I had some model paint. I was like, well, I don't just want a hockey mask. I want to put some blood on it. And I remember I put the red model paint on it. And then I was like a young Dexter. I was like, it doesn't look real enough. And I remember like trying to like touch it up and make the blood spatter look like blood and not paint.
Red paint.
Red paint. I love that. But I'm not matching Jason against your Freddy. I'm going a few years earlier than this.
Yeah.
Growing up, we loved this big red, or I did. We had a book of presidents. You know, it was like a Wikipedia on the presidents in book form, because this was pre-internet.
We had a bunch of history books.
It was all the presidents. And I loved Abe Lincoln. I loved Abe Lincoln. Tall man, tall hat. I probably just wanted the top hat, get a fake beard. So in first grade, I was like, I want to be Abraham Lincoln. And that's an adorable costume, a first grader as Abraham Lincoln. But we go to the NCPC Halloween Carnival,
yeah,
which was a good carnival in retrospect.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
North Coast
rides,
Presbyterian Church.
Candy.
That church did it up. They had like the donut holes, you know, before church. They had a, you know, they had... I remember bobbing for apples. Thank you, COVID-19. No one's ever going to have to do that again. Could you imagine? Like, you're at a toy.
Oh, hell no.
There's got to be some fucked up, like, fuck COVID. We're bobbing for apples at this party.
People are probably doing that shit right now.
It's so gross.
Bobbing for apples is gross.
It is gross.
When you think about it.
Yeah. It's like everyone's kind of making out aggressively with apples. It's so bad. But at one of the booths... At this carnival was a booth where they would put blood on your face or give you a bloody bandage.
Yeah.
So I'm in first grade. I'm very proud of this story. And they're like, hey, little guy, what are you? I'm Abraham Lincoln. Oh, that's so cute. And I'm like, I want a bullet hole. And they're like, excuse me? I need a bullet hole. And like, what? I'm like, I'm Abe Lincoln, right? According to my president's book, he was shot in the head, so put a bullet hole, wrap my head, make it look like I have a bullet hole. So this is what I must have been a kick to my parents, because my parents take us to a Halloween carnival. They let us wander around for a bit. When they left me, I'm a cute, adorable Abe Lincoln. When they see me next, I got gauze wrapped around my head with a bullet hole.
We have a great picture of... Pirate Brendo with Abe Lincoln shot in the head, Carson.
But I can see it because I remember that they had the illustrated, you know, Ford's Theater picture where they, and the, watch. Remember that? That looks familiar because you can remember they had John Wilkes Booth behind him and you could see like the weird, you know, and there was a costume contest and I made it to the final round. And I was like, even in my head, I'm like, this is going to be great. Like, you know, I'm a cute little kid. I'm Abe Lincoln with a bullet hole. I thought I was unstoppable. And I lost. Do you remember what I lost to?
Do like Mario or something?
I lost to a stuffed credit card.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All these Suburban was like, oh, a credit card. Oh, she looks great. It was an adorable homemade costume. But I was like, ugh. And I'm still mad to this day because I knew this what was at stake. And I got shafted, man, because first prize was like a $20 gift certificate to Playco.
Oh, shit.
Playco. Playco. Second prize? You know what second prize was? A pumpkin lollipop.
This sucks, dude.
That mom ate anyway. Or threw away.
Well, I won a pie-eating contest as Freddy Krueger.
Did you use your claws to, like, chop it up and, like...
I used my Brendo powers to suck that pie up.
I remember I was in a pie-eating contest at the cul-de-sac pie-eating contest. Yeah, that was it. So when you were winning that pie contest, I was almost suffocating in pie because I was doing it and the carols were cheering me on. And I think it was Greg got a little too excited and, like, held my face in the pie. And I remember, like, I came up and, like, I couldn't breathe. I had the whipped cream... And I had, like, the whipped cream was in my nasal cavity. It was so far up there that I would, like, blow it out of my nose days later, and it had spoiled.
Oh, God.
In my navel. So I was like, we'd seen Stand By Me. Pie contest. Lots of fun. You could win. What did you win for winning the pie contest?
I think candy.
More pie. But I almost died. Suffocating on a pie.
I didn't know that.
So anyway, fuck, dude, that's tough. Freddy versus Abe Lincoln.
I think Abe Lincoln wins.
Abe Lincoln wins. Round one.
Well, maybe Freddy wins.
Well, I mean, Freddy... I mean, he won a pie contest.
Especially 10-year-old
Freddy's Freddy. A winner because he won the pie contest. Abe's a loser because I got second place to a credit card. All right, we got time for one more round?
Yeah.
All right, well... And then we'll decide the winner. Freddy won round one. Round two. What you got?
Well, this is like a grown-up costume.
Grown-up costume category.
My friends and I were the cast of Mad Men. We went to the West Hollywood parade.
That's a very Hollywood costume.
And we were very popular on the streets of West Hollywood.
Early adopters. This isn't like...
This was like season two.
Right, so you were like, whoa.
And we had a Peggy in drag, and that was very popular.
Mm. Yeah, the gender swapping, always popular.
So we had a dude as Peggy.
Dude looked like a Peggy, And you got to smoke all night and drink. Got
to smoke all night and have a drink in her hand, and that was great. And I was one of the only people that actually smoked, though.
Oh, so you... You were keeping it real.
I was keeping it method.
Well, I...
And I know it was just fun. That was the only time I went to the West Hollywood on Halloween, and it was a lot of fun.
My first year in college in the Bay Area, you would hear just legendary, and it was legendary. The Halloween in the Castro. You just go to the Castro Street. It's just like wall-to-wall, insanely well-thought-out costumes. Just this, you know, the epicenter of the LGBTQ community. It was great. It was great to be a young, excited, testing the waters, but just, you know, really just a tourist in that world as a young person, you know, in college there. But, man, I had a great costume my first year. It was so good that, like, I was like, well, I'm never going to top that ever. I had always wanted to be Edward Scissorhands. But the Scissorhands themselves, I was like, it's hard to pull off without being like a danger or a menace.
Yeah.
So I'm in college now. I'm a little more liberal. I still want to do it. I was like, you know what? I don't want to do the full leather suit. That's hard. But I could do like a later in the scene, just, you know, just do like the suspenders, the office shirt. I had long enough hair, black hair. I was all about. I was trying to be a little emo, you know, get those Suicide Girls, you know, love it. You know, I'm going as a Tim Burton costume. I'm heading in the right direction. I was like, I still have a question about these scissor hands. I got it. I won't do scissors. and call my dorm friends. They're going to help me roll out and sculpt penis fingers instead of Edward Scissorhands.
What'd you make the penis fingers with?
Crayola modeling clay, the light stuff. Just rolled it. It's really easy to make a dick and then just put condoms over it. I had like those thick black gardener's gloves. So I had like those gardener gloves, stuck my penises on each finger. I had like at least six of them. And it was great because the makeup and the hair was so good that like people would be like, oh, it's Edward Scissorhands. And I'd bring up my hands. They'd be like, what? And you can imagine being, you know, I was a handsome young man, and being in the Castro as like an 18-year-old boy with six penis fingers, I got like people would circle around me and just like, and these were like pros, they were into it. It was great. I felt like Prince of the Castro that night. It was wonderful. So I submit for approval by the Midnight Society, Edward Penis Fingers.
Yeah, that definitely wins. I think that wins everything.
Yeah. I had like one photograph. I still have it because it was like pre-internet. So I have like one photograph someone took in the dorms before we pre-partied. But man, love it. Love Edward Penis Fingers. It's a good costume.
I would give an honorable mention to you and Rebecca when you were first dating, had a wonderful Moonrise Kingdom couple's costume.
That was great. You know, that first Halloween as a couple is important. You know, if you can, like, can be on the same page, you'll couple's costume.
That was
costume.
When I was like, he found the one.
It was perfect. This is Arlen, and she loves it. We've had some great costumes. My favorite that we did, and we took this costume to a con.
Oh, you had a Lebowski.
We were the Lebowski, and she made her own Valkyrie bowling pin costume.
Yeah, that was really good, too.
We got stopped at the con a couple times for photo ops.
Oh, yeah, when you went to an actual comic convention.
Yeah, because I had the hookup, because I know one of the agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What up, Brett? He got into the Yale School of Drama. Not that year. Brett, so mad at him because he was like, I want to get to a good graduate school. Our first year auditioning, he got into Brown. He went to like 1 year of Brown, but like got an agent and dropped out. And then he's like, you know what? I got an agent, but I'm not where I want to be. So then he applied again to drama school and got into like all of them. Like he was like, yeah, Carson, I don't know. Should I go to UCSD? NYU or the Yale School of Drama? What about you? I'm like, I'm auditioning next year, and I'll be choosing between, what I get to choose between? A school in England that I'd never heard of, or a Commedia dell'arte-based graduate program in Humboldt, California.
I still think you should have done that, because then you could be like a Cirque du Soleil clown.
The hours, dude. The hours are rough. Shows six nights a week? It's a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are some good Halloween memories.
I loved Halloween. I remember we were hardcore trick-or-treaters.
Pillowcases.
We switched to pillowcases pretty early.
People are like, oh, I love the McDonald's. I'm like, those are trash.
Fuck those pails.
They spill easy. You can't. Pillowcase. Go. But anyway, what you watching this week, bro?
Mandalorian. Season 2.
What'd you think of the first app?
It was really good. It was very... I mean, he pointed out there. You were right away. You're like, Sandworm! Sandworm incoming!
Dune!
Everybody loves those sandworms.
Love it. It's like Beetlejuice all over again.
A dragon.
That's right. Krayt dragon.
And then, let's see.
Star Wars can't get enough of Tatooine, man.
Well, it's pretty classic.
I tell you what, I just, right before this, what I was watching that we need to watch immediately after, this is Tammy and the T-Rex?
What?
Okay. I just got curious. You know, because there's a free preview of Showtime on YouTube television, so I watch football. And I was just like scrolling through the movies alphabetically, and it's like Tammy and the T-Rex. And I'm like, that sounds insane. Look at the cast. It's from 1994. It has Denise Richards.
I think I've seen the cover.
And Paul Walker. And this is what I saw so far. It's like high school. Denise Richards plays like the pretty girl, and Paul Walker plays the quarterback. And he's like, I really like you. Are we gonna go to the thing? She's like, you know we can't. It's dangerous. He'll get so mad. He'll kill you. And it's like, who is he? She has like a bad boy ex-boyfriend who ends up, and his gang end up kidnapping Paul Walker and dropping him in a big game. In a big game preserve, he gets mauled by a lion, chased by a black panther, a cheetah at first. He gets all the wildcats thrown at him. And then he's kidnapped by a crazy doctor who Frankensteins his brain into an animatronic T-Rex.
What?
And I was like, when I saw this, I was like, when I read like the description, I was like, this must have been like some dude's like, I got a T-Rex. Let's make a movie. What's the movie about? We don't know. And then you go to Wikipedia and it's like, this Mexican theater owner had a T-Rex automated for a show, but he had 2 weeks before it had to be at its, you know, their purchaser, and he reached out and was like, let's make a movie. So they made a movie in 2 weeks. And it must have been on the show for
Paul Walker.
This is 1994. It feels like I call it the last 80s movie, because it's probably something that's been only rediscovered. How could we not have heard about this? Right? It's probably been on those weird, you know, how did this get made podcasts, but holy shnikes. We got to watch that. It's great.
I thought we were going to watch Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
No. Come on, Tammy and the T-Rex.
Yeah, it sounds like something we need to watch.
We need to watch that right now. Bad Dad, Rad Dad real fast? I mean, Rad Dad.
Rad Dad.
Halloween,
Pee-wee.
Pee-wee. Did it.
Did it. Rad Uncle. He also made a Quato costume. Made a Quato costume. Your daughter.
That's Bad Dad.
Father Dadder.
She was not, I mean, it wasn't my idea to put makeup on her. But getting makeup off of a one-year-old, yeah, They call Johnson & Johnson's No More Tears. There were tears. But that was kind of bad. But, man, that was the second-to-last episode, bro. How do you feel about it? Of this series? Because it's kind of like you were missing. We found you. We've explored it. We got one more ep.
Of Missing Persons. I'm Missing Persons. Radio Breno Man is continuing.
Yeah, is it, though?
I don't want people to think we're not.
We were going to call it Prozac to the Future. We decided not to. What do we end up wanting to call it?
There is no Dana, only Zoloft.
Oh, yeah. There is...
There is no Dana, only Zoloft.
What does that mean? I don't know. It's the finale. It's great. It's Ghostbusters. We'll do it.
Yeah.
We did it.
You did it, bro.
Happy Halloween! What was that?
I don't know what that was.
Whatever it is, I love you, bro.
Love you, bro.
Love you, bro.
Love you, bro.
Love you, bro. Love you, bro. Love you, bro.